I'm Don Mulligan. I'm 83 years of age. I had quite an encounter with an unidentified flying object in December of 1975, and I've been upset with myself for not passing this information on earlier, but I really didn't know to whom I should pass it on to. And but now I've had a talk with this gentleman, and I feel it. I know he believes me, and hopefully something will come of this in the future. While traveling with my wife from Onaping to Sudbury at approximately 1:30 a.m. on December the 15th, 1975, it was a cold, clear night, about 30 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 30 Fahrenheit. I had reached the Larchwood area, just north of Chelmsford area. I was just coming into the flats from up in the hills of Onaping. And I had reached the Larchwood area, where the road turned sharply to the left. Before making my turn, I noticed a vehicle flying towards us with a bright spotlight shining in a vertical direction, towards the ground, that is. And this craft was obviously en route to the northwest of me and was flying over some scrubland with occasional stunted growth of trees interspersed along its route of travel. Following the road to the left, I traveled less than a mile when the road turned sharply to the right, and at the same time, we went up over a railway overpass. And it was fairly high up because it permitted the ore cars from the Levac mine and at the time to travel through to Coppertop Smelter. So we were up very high. And when I reached the center of the overpass, there was a flying vehicle hovering to my left at the same elevation I was on. It was quite close to me, no more than 20 feet from the overpass. It resembled a World War II shiny steel helmet with portholes all around the base of it. I forget how many, but there were numerous. The flange of the World War II helmet was actually rotating in a counterclockwise formation, and I realized that it was its means of transportation, of movement, and but it was very, very slow, the flange itself. I opened my door to walk towards it across the road there, only to have my wife call me back to the car. I told her all I intend to do is cross over the road for a close-up look, but she broke into tears and insisted I stay in the vehicle. And she was quite traumatized by the whole thing, and she never ever brought it up to me again, nor to anyone else that I'm aware of. I rolled down my window, and I could hear a soft purring noise, and it was coming from the flange that was rotating in a slow counterclockwise direction, and I would say it maybe no more than 2-3 revolutions per minute at that time. Although we could see nothing, could see no one aboard the craft, we watched it for approximately 20 minutes and had the feeling that we were also being observed. Finally, the cold weather forced me to close my window and resume my journey to Sudbury. We were not surprised to note that the aircraft traveled along with us at a low elevation until we arrived at the outskirts of Chelmsford, and then it just disappeared. Upon reaching the other side of Chelmsford, in total darkness again, the craft reappeared on my left side and followed us towards Sudbury. When we arrived at McKim Mine, the vehicle veered off to my left and gained altitude until it settled directly over the headframe, situated 1/4 mile off the highway. At that time, I owned 3 cameras, including a good 35mm Nikon FE with a very good lens, and also a good set of binoculars. I took off for our home in Sudbury. We lived on Lamotte Street, down from Cambrian College. And I returned with my camera, and I broke all speed limits at the time. Wonder I wasn't picked up. But the craft had left the area, and we didn't ever see it again. Now, basically, this is what we saw. Only the hem of the helmet was approximately 66 feet in diameter and was attached to the vehicle somehow, and it was rotating in a counterclockwise rotation. I assumed that it was rotating that way because it was in a hover mode, and I presumed it would change to a clockwise motion for direct flight. But I never did really see it slow down again until it did so over McKim Mine, and I was too far away to tell whether it was changed from a clockwise motion to a counterclockwise rotation. We both felt as though we were being observed. You know, the hair was standing up the back of my neck, I can recall. But we could see no one in the portholes, although they were well lighted, and we were so close to it. And at the height we were on the overpass, it was just about the same height as we were. So close that we couldn't see underneath where we had seen the searchlight when it was coming towards us there earlier, just a few minutes earlier. The vehicle was shiny. I say it was night, but it was bright, and it was a shiny metallic construction, and the flange, the rotating flange, was very silver, more silver than the helmet of the vehicle itself. And that's all I can remember about it. I should have written this down a long time ago. I told the young fellow here about our upcoming meeting, and I asked if he could sketch it for me so that I could show how the flange rotated, but he couldn't do it justice. But he showed me. He went to Google on the computer over there in the nurse's station, and he showed me very many photographs of supposed flying objects, but they're all at a long distance. And there wasn't anything that resembled what I saw. He drew a couple of sketches for me here. Anyway, that's my story. While I was in the dining room there last week writing this out, a young lady came along to offer me a coffee, and I said to her, just for the heck of it, I said, "Have you ever seen a flying saucer?" And she said, "No, but I've seen a UFO." Well, I said, "What's the difference?" She said, "Well, it wasn't a saucer shape. It was a elongated, narrow, pointed shape." And I said, "When did you see this?" She said, "In October of 1986. She said, "My husband and I and another couple were walking along Old Ski Road." And she said, "All of a sudden, five of them appeared. Two and then three directly behind. And they hovered. They're about 1,000 feet away." I said, "How high?" And she said, "Oh, maybe a couple of 100 feet. That was it. I said, "Did you ever see them again?" "No." So I got her phone number for you. For years, I was manager of Eastern Canada for a South African mining company, and then after I left them, I spent 10 years as a manager of a Swedish mining company here in operating out of Sudbury. At one time I had approximately 45 employees working for me, and I had 14 Inkle mines and 7 Falconbridge mines under contract, plus Rio Algom and Denison for several years. And I supplied all the drilling materials to these mines and charged them on a cost per foot drilled. Their engineering department would tell me how many feet they drilled in a given month, and I would invoice them according to that, to what we had agreed on earlier. Well, since then I've seen many other flying saucers, not in this immediate area, but I had while I was still manager of the mining companies, I bought a farm down in Nipissing, Ontario, some 340 acres, and various members of my family witnessed or heard from other people in the area of UFO sightings in the Powassan-Nipissing area, and that was in 1967, 68, 69, and before I moved back to Sudbury. And a neighbor of mine who had an electrical engineer from Hamilton had a cottage in a 1B below me, and he came over one afternoon and said, "We just come over to see why the UFOs are hovering over your house." And I said, "Oh, yes." I said, "When did you see them?" "Every night for the past week at about 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the morning." And I said, "Why didn't you come in and tell me?" "Well, we were afraid we'd scare it away. We anchored the boat out about a quarter of a mile offshore and watched them." And I said, "Was it right over my house?" And he said, "It appeared to be, but I had a big hill behind me, solid rock. with a an iron formation in it, and I suspect that maybe, I don't know, they were getting some energy from this iron ore body in the area, because after that I saw, I was coming back from Legion Hall in Boston one night about 11 o'clock, and I was coming, I was maybe 6 miles out of Powassan, heading to my farm, and down in a place called Christian Valley. And it was in the spring of the year, and the fields, the farmer's fields, were still very wet, and you couldn't drive over. But I saw a blue flashing light at the base of a hill in a field belonging to a friend of mine. And I went back to see him the next day. I watched it for some time, and I went back to see him the next day and talked to him. And I said, "Did you see that strange light in your at the end of your field, right at the base of the hill, last night?" But his house was all in darkness. And he said, "No." I said, "Well, do you have a vehicle with a blue flashing light?" And no. And he said, "No other vehicle would get out there on my fields." He said, "They're too wet, too damp. It was just early spring." So what it was, who knows. But since that time, I've taken several cruises in the Caribbean. And my wife died several years ago, and I took a girlfriend with me. And the last one, we were down in Tampa, and we were cruising to Mexico. And I had a stateroom on the outside with a balcony on it. And we would be sitting out there having a drink at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning when we saw these three vehicles way up high. But they were cruising, and they're going along at a level and sort of circling the cruise ship. But they were at a fair height. And then all of a sudden an aircraft came towards them, flying over the area. And as soon as it came fairly close to them, they shot right up in the air and disappeared on us. But that was, I'm sure, another sighting. You know, and I'm wondering if maybe there was something about me that attracted them. I don't know, but there was another sighting. Yeah, it was in Powassan in 1961 or 62. And a couple of young lads I knew of through their parents sneaking a smoke behind the school in the backyard, schoolyard. And all of a sudden this vehicle landed right down where they were. Scared the living hell out of them. And they didn't say anything to anybody for some time, and then finally whoever they talked to got hold of me and told me about it. And I approached the two, and they verified, yes, that they had seen this flying object. They had seen it come in, and it landed right in the playground at the back of the school. It was there for some time, and it was still there when they took off, scared. And that was in, it wasn't any later than 1963 when this happened. One of the young lads is now dead. The other one is still living and working in the Boston area. If someday their names will come to my mind. But I just can't recall them at the moment. Anyway, the flange around this World War II shiny helmet had to be 5 to 6 feet in width. And it seemed like it was ribbed when I got up close to it from the middle of the bridge. And like I say, it was only rotating it maybe at the most 3 revolutions per minute, and all it had was a whirring sound to it, and that was the only sound that came from the entire vehicle, was this soft whirring sound, which I realized was coming from the rotation of the flange.
What's the closest you were to the object?
Well, I would say at that point I was maybe 20 feet from it. And it was a bright winter night, and so you could see it fairly well. I wish I had been able to walk a little closer, even to the other side of the road, you know. So I was waiting for a vehicle to come along and verify this with me. That's why I waited so long watching it. And the vehicle finally did come, and I tried to flag it down, and it didn't slow down. Turned out it was an OPP cruiser. But I looked up to where the spaceship was, and it had disappeared. So next thing I knew, all it had done was drop down towards the railroad track, and then it came back up to my height again after the cruiser went by. That's about all I can tell you.